Today's daf in Masechet Benachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh is daf Nun Tet. And we are holding right at the beginning at the Halakha Mishnah. So now we want to discuss the interrelationships of the various Benachot that we have and recognize that we've been discussing some very special Benachot lately, and those are the ones which are very unusual. Either they're chometz, like we had the case of the Ishti Alechem, or they were non-chometzable, like the Ishti Alechem, like the Lechem HaPanim, or we were talking about the specific minchas, the menachos that were brought as nesachim were over there. They were also very different, had a completely different amount of oil than the others did. And so, to put things now, everything into shape, and to get into the psukim that will give us the key to understanding which ones require shemen, which ones require levena, which ones require neither, which ones require both, we're going to be taking a look at the mekaris in the psukim. You will have to ignore the one upmanship today in order to be able to just come along. So, yesh to unot shemen vilevona, the yesh shemen velo levona, the yesh levona velo shemen. So we know that some of these menachot, most of them, as a matter of fact, the standard mincha requires both shemen and levona, but there's some that only take shemen and don't take any levona, and there's some that take levona but don't take any shemen, and then of course we have our very special cases where we neither are allowed to put on shemen or levona. So let's first take the standard 10 menachos. Now, they aren't really 10 menachos, and the Mishnah expands them, as the Gemara is going to point out, always into a standard 10, despite the fact it doesn't seem to be a necessity to mention two out of these. So let's take a look at what we've got. The standard menachos. Yesh tu'unot shemen ulevona. What are they? Elu tu'unot shemen ulevona. Here's our list of standard menachot. Of course, this is in the order the Torah actually presents them. The opening is the simple mincha solet, which doesn't require any kind of cooking, baking, frying, or anything like that. But then we also have the minchas machavat, which needs to be made on a griddle, and a minchas marcheshet, which is made in a deep fried. And then we have the mafe tanur, two different types of mafe tanur, chalot and the rikikin. And these were different. Remember that they were counting them as two separate ones, but they were made differently, and they were put, the rikikin had the shemen that was put over them on top, and then, and more so than the regular chalos, the minchas kayanim is unique, and that minchas kayanim, what's unique about it? It's made the same way, but what's unique about it is, of course, that there is no chometz that's taken from it, because Eik Minchas Kohanim isn't eaten, and therefore doesn't have any shirayim. We also have the Chavitim, which is the Minchas Kohen Mashiach, which is very different, remember, because it's brought only pras in the morning, at pras in the afternoon, and it's prepared in all of these funny ways in which it's bageled, and it's fried, and it's baked, and we do this multiple times. So we've discussed all that before. We're going to get to it later in greater detail. Minchas Oved Kochavim. So the question is there a special din about a minchat oved kochavim? Not really. And the only reason that we include it here is because we want to make... My dear Ori, it's the middle of the daf. And therefore, you can either put yourself on mute... So... we do this in order to make sure that we have established that the Minchas Akum has all of the dinim of the standard Mincha, and we do the same thing in terms of the Minchas Nashim, which doesn't really need to be listed, again, because why would we think that there is a difference in, between Nashim and anybody else? Okay, but we list it because they are part of the overall dinner. There's a lot of discussion whether there might be some kind of chiddush or not, but pashtus, we're just making a list of all of the menachos that share dinim across the board in some sense or another. And then we also have the Minchas HaOmer. The Minchas HaOmer, it says beferish, v'natata aleha shemen, v'samta aleha levona. So you might have thought it was similar to the Shtei Alechem. It is not similar, actually, almost in any way at all, other than, as we'll see later, it has to come dafka from the Chodesh, and it has to come dafka from Eretz Yisrael. But we'll be talking about all the separate dinner. So these are 10 menachot that are always listed together, the 10 menachot that have the standard requirements of both Shemen and Levona. So they are the Seilah, Minchas Seilah, Bar Chavas, Bar Cheshes, Chalos, Rekikin, Kayanim, Kayan Mashiach, Akum, Noshim, and Omer. Now, the Minchas Nesachim, however, that is different because it's the one that requires Shemen, but there's no Levona in the Minchas Nesachim. The Lechem HaPonim, on the other hand, do require Levona, not mixed with the Lechem, but in on the Shulchan and inside the Bezichei Levona, but there's no Shemen that is used for making the Lechem HaPonim. And the Shtei HaLechem and the Minchas Chote and the Minchas Soita, which we call the Minchat Kanaut, those have no shemen and no levon. As a matter of fact, it's also an issur d'oraita to put shemen v'levena on the minchas chayte or the minchas levena, because it says beferish lo tasim aleha. So let's go through all the pesukim. Omer of Papa, first of all, you should know that this should not be surprising, because every place that we learn something that is common to all of the menachos, I want to tell you all of the names of the menachos, we always list these 10 menachos. And we find this in various places we're going to have also later on. And why does he mention this? I mean, I know how to count. Well, I'll tell you. Because Rav Papa wants to make it clear that the Minchas Ma'afei Tanur that was listed here in two pieces, one of them were Chalot and one of them were Akikin, that those are actually two separate minachot, and not just variations on a minchas machavad. If they were variations, you could sort of have an option to mix and match. So you could make some of your mincha machavad, some of it rikikin, and they would both be included on the general rubric of a minchas ma'afei tanur. But that's not true, says Rav Papa. This is to make it clear that he disagrees with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who does actually hold precisely that. Rabbi Shimon says, if you want to bring a minchas machavat, you said, I'm a Kabbalah myself, to bring a minchas machavat. If you want to bring half of it chalot and half of it rikikin, that's also fine, because they're just variations on a theme. According to whom, we wouldn't be able to list separately a separate, the list of 10, we wouldn't be able to list Machavat as Chalot as number X and Machavat as Rikikin as number Y. Therefore, comes along with Papa to say, but our Mishnah actually lists them separately. Kamash Malan Dilon. Fine. Okay. There's one additional approach, which you could say, is that according to Rashi brings as a possibility, it's not as reasonable, that according to Rabbi Shimon, if Mechza Chalos and Mechza Rikikin, then that would be yet another type of mincha, so there should be 11, as opposed to he would hold there's 9, he would hold there's 11. All right, anyway, so we said that the Minchas Nesachim does take Shemen, but does not take Levona, right? Shtei Alechem takes neither of them, and the Lechem HaPonim takes Levona and not Shemet. So let's take a look at the Mokar. Here we go through the Psukim that tells us these halachas. Tana Rabbanan. So when it came to the Minchas HaOmer, it said, Beferish v'natata aleha Shemen. You have to put on Shemen on the, and it says also v'samta aleha, the two lashonas, one, v'natata and v'samta. V'natata aleha Shemen, v'samta aleha levona, and then it says minchahi. Now we're going to be darshening this pasuk, because aleha would mean aleha v'lo achaverta. And it says that twice. One, in terms of the netinat shemen, minatat aleha shemen. One, aleha, in terms of levona. Visamta Aleh Levona. Now, could easily have put those two together. Could have said Natata Lashem and Levona, right? So it's obviously coming to tell me another miut, Aleha, and not on something else. And then it says Mincha has a din, and he seems again to be a miut. So let's analyze each one of them. The first Aleha we're darshing means put Shemen on the Omer, but don't put Shemen on the Lechem Hapanim. Left to my own devices, if I wouldn't have had this pasuk that tells me to be mamayit specifically the lechem aponim, I might have thought that actually, if a minchas nesachim doesn't even need levona, as we said in the Mishnah, as we're going to prove. So if a minchas nesachim that doesn't need levona still has a certain minimal requirement of the mincha, which is shemen, the lechem aponim, which is more similar to a standard mincha, because it does require the lechem aponim, at least in terms of the actual bringing of the whole korban together, it requires levona in the besiche levona. So for sure, the lechem aponim, being more similar to the standard mincha, should need shemen. That's why the Torah had to say, aleha, to put shemen on it, on the omer, and not on the lechem aponim shemen. Then it says again another aleha. Visamta aleha levona. So what is that coming to tell me? Dafka on this and not on something else. What is that referring to? That is coming to tell me that only the Omer should take levona, but the Minchas Nesachim should not take levona, because there too I would have thought, Shiyoko v'halodinu, I mean, it makes sense, left to my own devices, that a Minchat Nesachim should definitely need levona. Because if the Lechem Aponi, which doesn't even take oil, it still requires Levona, which means that Levona seems to be a more fundamental requirement for the Menachos, and it still requires the Levona, despite not requiring Shemen. So certainly the Minchas Nesachim that even need Shemen, which was less fundamental as we saw, so for sure it requires Levona, because Levona we saw, at least it appears to be, more fundamental. That's why the Torah says again, Aleha Levona. So the Visamta Aleha Levona means Veloa Minchas Nesachim Levona. That teaches me don't put Levona, or there's no need for Levona in the Minchas Nesachim. And then it says Mincha Hi. Now when it says Mincha, then that's coming to be Marba, some other Mincha. What Mincha? I mean, I know it's a Mincha. So what other Minchas Merumas here that was meant to be included? That is coming to tell me the Mincha Shmini. So this pasuk was said to Moshe Rabbeinu right away in, as part of the tzivoy, what it is to do in the Mishkan. So it was telling him that he was going to have to bring on the Shmini L'miluim. He would also need to make sure that that Mincha, even though it was a Tzarech Sha'a and not a Dairais, I still need to know to put Levina on it, because I wouldn't be able to figure it out myself. And then when it says at the end, he, it means, but don't make the mistake of thinking that the Shtei HaLechem requires any of this. No, both the Aleha of the Shemen and the Aleha of the Levina is excluded from he only on this Mincha, but not on the Shtei HaLechem. So therefore, I now know, according to this Braita, we're going to ask about these Libudim and go through them one or the other, but we now know, according to the Braita, the Dinim in the Mishnah, that we have a special halacha to exclude the Shtei HaLechem from both Shemen and Levona with the He. We have a special miut of Aleha, and that appears twice, that the Omer is Aleha, velo al something else Levona, and Aleha on the Omer Shemen, and not on something else Shemen. So this comes to tell me the Levona doesn't go on the Minchas Nesachim, and the Shemen doesn't go on the Lechem Aponim. So now we know all of the three halachas that the Mishnah said were unique and did not fit the rule of the ten. Okay, now, I'd like to go over that, because I don't understand. I mean, you know, I see what you're saying, but I don't know what right you have to say it. You said Aleha means only put the Omer, give the Omer Shemen, but don't give the Lechem Aponim Shemen. I mean, I don't understand how you know that that's what it's referring to. I see it's referring to something, don't put on Shemen. I mean, maybe it means put Shemen on the Minchas HaOmer, because the Minchas HaOmer requires a chometz, and it's given to Kohanim to eat, but don't put shemen on a Minchas Kohanim, because the Minchas Kohanim is not eaten, and it doesn't take a chometz, so it doesn't really have a matter to be matter shirayim. Maybe the Lechem HaPonim, though, does need oil, who knows? Well, if it's a toss-up between understanding the Aleha as a miut from Minchas Kohanim, or the miut for the Lechem HaPonim, I'll say it makes much more sense that the Minchas Kohanim is included in the normal dinner and does require shemen. Because, look, the Minchas Kohanim is much more similar to the Minchas HaOmer than the Lechem HaPonim. I'll tell you why. Minchas Kohanim and Minchas HaOmer share the following things. This is a siman. Isorin, Kli, Chutz, Tzura, Hagosha, and Ishim. So Minchas Kohanim and the Omer take one Isaron only. And that's the standard Mincha. Masha Inken Lechem HaPonim, Bedavka is Shnei Esronot for each one. So it says over there, Ve'afitoto, Shtemesre Chalot, Shnei Esronim, Yechala Achat. So that means, now this is a great opportunity, and of course this is the way that the Gemara always does things. In order for us to get very clear what the differences are in the psukim between the chiyuvim of the various menachos, the best way to do it is to end up with a toss-up about what a pasuk is including and what a pasuk is excluding, and then we have to go through Nir Lami Domeh, which teaches us, meanwhile, dozens of halachas, which we wouldn't have been, maybe paid attention to without this. So here we have a terrific opportunity to chazer over some of the basic halachas of all of the menachas and how they compare to each other. So, Minchas Kohanim and the Omer have a lot of things in common. They both take a normal amount of solat. That amount of solat is one isaron, as opposed to the Lechem HaPonim that your suggestion was we should include. Well, it's very different. It requires Shnei Esronot, okay? Furthermore, both of them have a Kli Sharet, all the regular menachas, whether you're talking about any of those 10, including the Minchas Kohanim, you're including the Minchas HaOmer, you have to put it inside of a Bisa in order to make it into the dough. But we saw before, there is no din of Bisa, and there's no din bichlal, therefore, for even needing a Kli Sharet when it comes to the Lechem HaPonim. Furthermore, they are all things that are done b'chutz. You don't bring them into the Heichal, do you? Do you bring an Omer into the Heichal? No. Do you bring a Minchas Kohanim or any other Menachas, standard 10? No. But do you bring the Lechem HaPonim into the Heichal? Yep. So, I mean, it's very reasonable that the Lechem HaPonim would be excluded as not being an example of a normative mincha, right? So that also is different. Now, both of them become pasul with Ibor Tzura. The Lechem HaPonim, does the Lechem HaPonim become pasul Belina? Are you kidding? It's left on the Shulchan for an entire week. So it doesn't have a din of Solina, which is called Tzura here, Ibor Tzura. Remember, that's how we always refer to Lina. And they all standard 10 menachas, including the Omer and Minchas Kohanim, require Hagasha, because they're going to be presented on the Mizbeach, and therefore we bring them up as a presentation on the Keren Dromit Maravit of the Mizbeach. Just to touch it to the Mizbeach, then we go back and we do what we got to do with it, right? Do we do that with the Lechem HaPonim? Obviously not. I mean, the Lechem HaPonim is inside of the Heichal. There's no din of Hagasha in the Mizbeach HaChitzah. And all of those menachas, including the Minchas HaOmer and the Minchas Kohanim, are brought on the Mizbeach, either totally or the part which was the Kmitza. Is there any part of the Lechem HaPonim that's brought on the Mizbeach? No. So therefore, in all of these six ways, the Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas HaOmer are similar, and the Minchas HaOmer and the Lechem HaPonim are dissimilar. So therefore, doesn't it make sense to compare and say what things is included and what things are excluded, well, the Aleh is excluding the thing that is least similar, and therefore Minchas Kohanim being more similar to the Omer has the same din as the Omer does when it comes to the Shemen, and the Aleh is there in order to be Mamayit the Lechem Aponim, which is very different. Well, now, I could argue that the Lechem Aponim is more similar in many ways, you know? Lechem Aponim Havile L'Rabuye, because Lechem Aponim is more similar to the Omer, and I'll give you here another simen, and this simen also has six items, so it's similar in its own six ways, more similar than the normal carbon of a kohen is, and that is, imagine a tzibura and a chova that is tame, that eats pigal on Shabbos. That, of course, is a simen. And each one of these refers to another way in which we have a similarity between the lechem, aponim on the one hand, and the omer in ways that the kohanim's carbon does not have. Okay? So, look, obviously, the minchas haomer is a carbon that's brought by the tzibur. I mean, a minchas kohen is just a standard mincha. Why would you compare a standard mincha to a mincha that is brought by a tzibur? Does that make sense? So there you've got one thing. Furthermore, it's a chiev. Is there a chiev and a minchas kohen? No, it's an adova. So these two things, the omer has to be brought, just like the shtei halachim has to be brought. Furthermore, is it brought betuma? Yes, a carbon tzibur is, under certain circumstances, brought afilu betuma, tzdeich betuma. Furthermore, do we eat the omer? Yes. Do we eat the lechem aponim? Yes. Do we eat a minchas kohanim? No. So there you go. It's very similar in the fact that we also eat it. Do we have a din of pigol on the omer? Well, yes, why not? You can have a machshavas pigol when you do the act of kmitza on the omer. Do we have pigol on a lechem aponim? Yes, you can be mefager the lechem aponim if you have a machshavas chutzus banay or chutzul mekaymai when you do the essentially the equivalent of the kmitza when you pick up the bezichei levena. So you could create pigol on that. Are they docha Shabbos? Yes, they are done on Shabbos. So bishabata. So none of those things are true about a minchas kohanim. Can't bring it on Shabbos, obviously. And therefore, whatever is going to be learned from Aleha, specifically this, namely the Omer, and not something else. Well, what does a not something else should be not the minchas kohanim. That's true. And they're also evenly matched. You got six things there and six things there. Meanwhile, we've learned 12 very important halachas that we've chazered over in the dinim of these menachas. But even so, remember that when we talk about a carbon milcha of a yachid, the Torah introduces it in a very special way. And that is nefesh ki takriv mincha. A nefesh means that we put together all those things that are brought by the individual, as an individual nefesh, frightening thing to be, but as an individual nefesh, if you go in and bring that mincha, it has all of these dinim. And then it goes to explain the minchas seles and the minchas machavas and macheshes and mafetanur and so on and so forth. But that means that any nefesh shares all of those dinim, including the Kohen was a nefesh, Masha Inkain, to say that we would apply the dinim to the tzibor's carbon doesn't make sense. So it makes more sense to say that the Kohen as a nefesh is going to share the dinim of the menachos with the other 10 or the other 9 nefeshes that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, the next part of the Braita. What did it speak about? The second Aleh. The second Aleha was the Visamta Aleha Livona. So we said, okay, Aleha means only on the Minchas HaOmer Livona. But we do not put Livona on the Minchas Nesachim. You might register that all of these special dinims, all of the two Alehas and the Mincha and the He, were all learned out specifically from the Minchas HaOmer and contemplate why the Minchas HaOmer, of all things, would be the marker for teaching us the dinim of these other unique menachas. Something to to be Ma'uras. But anyway, it says, V'samta aleha livona, from which the Braita claimed, this teaches us a Minchas Nesachim does not get livona. I don't understand how you know that. I have the same problem I had when you made that drush about the Shemen. I mean, maybe it means you should put livona on the Omer, but you shouldn't put the livona on the Minchas Kohanim. I mean, we have to be memayit something, right? So maybe it's excluding the Minchas Kohanim. Or others learn, some of the Rishonim learn that it's including maybe Minchas Nashim or Minchas Akum. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of discussion about why we need it specifically to include those. So if you have a good reason to include them, so then we understand as a Dover Poshet that the Gemara's Kasha over here was including not only Minchas Kayanim, but would include the possible outliers, which would be the Minchas Akum and the Minchas Nashim. Well, we can learn some new halachas here, too. It's mistavra that the Minchas Kohanim should be the same vis-a-vis Levona as the Omer is, because the Minchas Kohanim and the Omer actually share a lot of things in common. Look at this simon. They are Isaron, Bolol, Belug, Mugash, Biglal, Etza. A beautiful simon in which each word means something. So what does the Isaron mean? Well, I mean, we already saw that. Omer and Minchas Kohanim are standard-sized menachas in which you bring one Isaron Seles, Mashen came when it comes to the Minchas Nesachim. If you're bringing a par, I mean, you'd have three Esronot and an aisle, two Esronot. So it's certainly not a standard mincha. So that does not match. It makes more sense to match up the Minchas Kohanim to the Minchas Omer. Furthermore, they are both normally balul. So in other words, they both have one lug for each Isaron. Mashenken, as we saw earlier, you can have two or three even lugin. If you're talking about a mincha, the minchas nesachim with a keves, so then it ends up having three times as much. And if it's an aisle or a par, it's two times as much per Isaron. So why would I think to compare the two? Makes much more sense to compare the minchas kohanim to the minchas ha'omer. Furthermore, they are also actually brought as a gift. So you have to be magishta. You bring them to the Mizbeach HaGosha, to the Keren Dromis Maharavis, right? And they are also biglal. Why are they being offered here up onto the Mizbeach at all? Because they're a special korban, etzem. They're coming on their own. Is the Minchas Nesachim a carbon that's brought on its own? The Minchas Nesachim is mandated as a carbon to be brought with every Eila and Shlamim. So it doesn't have anything in common with the Minchas HaOmer. It's the Minchas Kohanim that has everything apparently here in common. So the Minchas HaKohanim should be included in the Aleha, and the Aleha should exclude the Minchas Nesachim. Well, I'm not persuaded, because the Minchas Nesachim actually has ways in which it's more similar to the Omer than the Minchas Kohanim is. Why? Because, first of all, it's brought by the Tzibur. It's a Chayva. It's not just a Dava like the Minchas Kohen is. It's similar to the Omer that the Torah insists that you have to bring it. And what's more, it would be Docha Tumah and would be Docha Shabbos. And that certainly is not the case of a Minchas Kohen. So which one should be excluded? The one that should be excluded should be Davka, the Minchas Kohanim. And the one that should be included for requiring Levona should be the Minchas Nesachim. You're right. It's even the same number of four issues. And the answer is what I told you before. It's still Mistavra, that since Nefesh is the introduction to the Menachas, which includes any of the variations of the 10 primal list that we had over here in our Mishnah that Rav Papa was kind enough to teach us, that the din is that all of those Nefashot are overrides the considerations in which they may be different or the same in terms of the halachas, but clearly the Torah is telling us, look, first of all, when you think about a mincha, look at the opening psukim of the minchas nefesh ki takriv, and that includes the kohen. Therefore, whatever the standard dinim of Shemen and Levona are for the other members of the grouping should be applied to the minchas kayanim, and if we're going to exclude it, then we'll have to exclude dafka the minchas nesachim. Now, you furthermore said that mincha hi, so the word mincha is coming to include another mincha. Which other mincha are we talking about? We're talking about the mincha that was brought on Shmini Lemilui. And that also was part of the chiyav of the Levona. How do you know it's coming to include anything? Maybe the point, mincha hi, is that only this and not that. So, I mean, maybe dafka mincha shmini is the one that is not included, and the shtealechem, which was mincha, is included. I mean, we've got another problem over here that you seem to have made an arbitrary determination. You have both a riboy and a miyot, and you decided that the riboy is going to include mincha shmini, and the miyot is going to be excluding dafka the din of the levina, and it's going to exclude it from shtei alechem when it's just as easy to invert it. And so the shtei alechem is also a mincha. Masha enkein, the mincha shmini is unusual. So maybe it's being motzi the mincha shmini. No, that makes no sense. Because look, consider that. Hi, Mike. If you're going to tell me that the Torah needed to be marba mincha shmini, it makes sense that I would need to have a specific riboy of mincha to include it. Because how would I figure out that I'm supposed to include it? I couldn't have known the din from the normal menachos of the Yom HaShmini because it's a din in the Sha'ah. And as you know, Sha'ah midorot lo yafinan. So why would I have thought that it would actually be there? So I need a pasuk to exclude it. It's got to be something that I would have otherwise included. So if I need a pasuk to include it, because otherwise, indeed, I wouldn't have known to include it. Why? Sha'ami dorot lo yafina. So therefore, it makes much more sense to say, I need this pasuk. Mashenka, you're going to tell me that I need the pasuk on a standard mincha over there. Dafka, I need to exclude it, because otherwise I would think to include it. So clearly the Torah is saying, let's be marba mincha shmini, and let's be memayet the din of the shtei alecha. Okay, so you said, therefore, that the he is a miyat. So the he is coming to be motzi the shtei alecha, that does not require lo shemen, the lo levona. But couldn't it be motzi minchas kohanim? Well, no, it couldn't have been, because minchas kohanim is very similar, after all, that if we're talking about the Omer, and we're talking about how similar something is to the Omer, so I pointed out to you before that when it comes to the minchas kohanim, there's a great deal of similarity, and that is that they are an isarain, they require a kli. And they are also matzah coming on their own, requiring hagosha and ishim. So both minchas kohanim and omer, as opposed to what you're saying over here, the shtei alechem. I mean, the shtei alechem is really different. I mean, the shtei alechem is made out of chametz. I mean, it's entirely different. It's made out of shnei esronot. I mean, over here you have one isarin for the minchas kohanim and for the minchas haomer, right? And we know that both of them use a standard bisa because they're a standard kneading. And where we have a kneading, we have a kli sharis that is miyuchet for that kneading, which was the bisa. And both of them are very much matzah, and it's an iser gomer to make them chametz. And not only that, both of them are not being brought because of something else. They're being brought because the Torah was mechayev this specific korban, or because you want to bring this specific korban, but not because they are agav, a different korban that you're bringing. And both of them are put onto the eish of the mizbeach. None of that is true when it comes to the shtei alechem. The shtei alechem is not put on the eish. and it is not nigash, because obviously if it's not going to be put on the eish, it would be very nasty to go bring it to see mizbeach. Well, now I'm not giving you any. I mean, it would be a little ridiculous. So there's no habrasha. It's brought because we're bringing the shnei kivsei atzeret to be materit, as opposed to the shtei, the omer doesn't have a carbon that's materit. And therefore, in having a different shear and different, not having the din of klishores, being difference between matzah and chametz, I mean, man, you can barely consider anything this similar, no? So the minchas kohanim and the omer are very standard. Well, I could always tell you that actually the shtei alechem is more similar to the omer. I mean, think about it. The whole point is we go from the omer to the shtei alechem. Good Lord, I mean, that's the whole idea of counting 50 days, and first you bring the chadash of the Seirim on Pesach, and then you count 50 days, and then you bring the Shtei Alechem. Don't tell me that the Shtei Alechem is totally different than the Omer. I mean, they're all almost part of the same idea. And therefore, I mean, think about it. They're both korbanos tzibur, right? They're both chovos. They're both going to be docha tuma. They are both actually eaten, which Minchas Kohanim is not eaten. Because of that, they have actually a matir, and therefore they can become pigol. They're both going to be doicha Shabbos. Both of them are matirin. One is matir, this new sa'irim, and one is matir, the new chitim for the menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. And both of them need tenufa. I mean, tenufa is off the wall to do for Minchas Kohen, why would do tenufa? Both of them have to be brought from Paris Eretz Yisrael. Both of them have a very specific time that they need to be brought, mamish, precisely. And none of this is true from the Minchas Kohen, and they have to be brought dafka from the new grain, whether that grain is Sorin for the Omer or Chitim for the Shtei Alechem, Masha Enkein. When it comes to Minchas Kohanim, you could bring it from grain that's 5 years old. Makes no difference. So therefore, they are completely and totally similar to each other. I don't even know. It seems to me that the one thing that we should include, if we're going to learn something out of the Omer, is the Shtei Alechem. And don't compare the number of things that you've got. I mean, Hanin Ephesian, there's many more ways that we're talking about over here that actually the Shtei Alechem is like the Omer in 11 different things. Masha Enkein and Minchas Kohanim, we had only 6 things. Well, we should definitely choose the 11 over 6, don't you think? And not only that, it's many more. So the Shtei Alechem should need the Shemen and Levona, and the Minchas Kohanim should be excluded from needing Shemen and Levona. Wow. So many wonderful reviews over here. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, it's still mistavra that since the presentation is nefesh ki takriv, look at that nefesh ki takriv to find the connection between the Minchas Kohanim and the other 9 menachos that are listed in the Mishnah, and you'll see it makes more sense to learn out from each other.
This is where Colonel Sandler's learned you need 11 different herbs and spices. That's why he chose 11.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I know what you're talking about, but how are they supposed to know what you're talking about? People who never saw Kentucky Fried Chicken and never heard of such things. You live in a different planet.
Chicken. Rabbi Nosamai said that he was sitting next to Rabbi Neuberger, and so Rabbi Neuberger didn't know who he was. And Colonel Sanders said, "You don't know who I am? You're on the plane."
Anyway. Yep. Okay, there's nothing as good for puncturing self-esteem than a trip to Lakewood. So here we are now with our wonderful Capitan, who I hope is responding to his cue and has not fallen asleep behind the screen. There we go. There we go.
Had a hard night, Rabbi.
Well,
the Iranians wouldn't let me sleep.
Yeah, that's because they don't like your son-in-law. Who asked you to live in a place
must
like that?
Be. But he's safely down on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't bother him any. Bothers me. You know, what can I say?
Well, didn't hurt your chazanas any. All right. So what did we learn? The last part of the Mishnah that we had before told us that you don't put shemen or levaina on a minchas chayte or on a minchas kanaut, which is not just that you don't need to, you're not allowed to. And now that we want to talk, up until now, we've been talking about, does it need, does it take? But now the point is, what about the actual iser of not putting it on, you know? And if that's the case, we need to figure out, are these, are there particular, like, different chiyuvim for each one alone? So that's the question. By the Minchas Chote, it says, Beferish, to bring Asiris Ha'efa Solet L'chatat, lo yasim aleha shemen, v'lo yitein aleha levona, Kichatat, he is the Pasuk. So now, what that implies is, because it repeats the Yisr twice, that there is a separate Chiyav on the Levona, Chayav ala Levona, Bifnei Atzma, and your Chayav ala Shemen Bifnei Atzma, because each one is listed as a separate Yisr in the Pasuk, and therefore, they are two completely different Lavin. Natan ala Shemen, the moment that you put the oil on it, you're not going to be able to use it, and you passed it. And besides, that is to say, besides the Isser, you're also out a mincha. Now, the question is, were you chayiv at the moment that you put the shemen on it? Well, that, I mean, it sure sounds like it. However, it's very clear in the Rambam that you are definitely not chayiv just for putting it on. You're only chayiv if you actually are makrivit with the shemen. Here's the lashon of the Rambam. Natan vehi kriv. Loke ala shemen bifnei atzma veala levona bifnei atzma. But not just the netina. So according to the Rambam, the discussions over here of the psul are one issue. And the question about the chiyav would only be effectuated in the event that you actually put it on the mizbeach. But the preparation itself is not, according to the Rambam, the Isser of Malkus. Okay? So when we say Chayev, it means if you were Makrevit, and Pasala is even if you weren't Makrevit. But if you put Levona on it, you could always just take the Levona off, and then it would be kosher, because Levona doesn't get mixed with the flour, and you could just pick out all of the Koratim of the Levona, and everything would be good. Now, how about if you did the kind of thing that you would have been chayev on the mincha, where you put, you make it chometz, right? And you do this on the shirayim. Is that similar to here? Is putting shemen on the shirayim, is that, if you took the chometz off, is that also an iser? Or is the iser only putting it in where it's going to be affecting what is put on the mizbeach? Which, of course, as the Rambam says, it's only if you actually remark on it. So would there be an iser? No. Natan shemen ar shiareha, eino over belo ta'aseh. This is certainly not a lo ta'aseh to mix it with the shirayim. And what's more, suppose, look, I mean, it says in the pasuk, lo yasim aleha shemen, or lo yitain aleha levona. So suppose you put some shemen in a container, and you put the container on the mincha, but you don't mix the shemen with the mincha. Or you put the levona on the mincha in a cup, but you don't actually put the levona in the mincha. Natan kli al gabe kli. So in that case, you wouldn't even possible it with the shemen, because it isn't even mixed. But let's take a look at the Mekoros for these halachas. So we say, you have wrecked your mincha by adding shemen, but you didn't wreck your mincha by adding levona. So what's the marker for that? Tana Rabbana. So in the Braita makes it clear, lo yasim aleha shemen, and what would be the din? Well, that would imply the imsam pasul. If you put shemen in it, so it's no longer the correct mincha, and therefore it would be pasul. You might think that the next piece of the pasuk that says lo yitain aleha levona would also be the same, that im natan pasal. That's why it says at the end of the pasuk, ki chatat, it is still a kosher chatas. Ah, So then maybe that's true about the shemen too. No, that's why it says chatat he specifically, which means only he, the minchad with the lavona, that is considered to be a chatat. Masha inkein, if it was the mincha with shemen, then it would not be called a chatat any longer. Chatat in this case, of course, was because we're referring to the minchas chote. So, I mean, again, this is very arbitrary, right? I mean, you're saying one of them we're saying is pasul, one of them is kosher. I mean, why did you start with that? How do you know that the kichatat is referring to the case where you put in levina and that the he is coming to be mamayat, the case where you put in shemen? Maybe the other way around. Sorry. Umara ita livso b'shemen ulahach shir b'levona. It only makes sense, doesn't it? I'm going to paso b'shemen because I can't take the shemen out once I put the shemen in. So, e efshar l'lokto. Marshenken, it makes sense. If the Torah is being matir, one of the cases of either shemen or levina in the minchas chote, it must be because the levona is efshar l'lokta, and therefore I can simply restore it to the way it was. So probably that's the case that the Torah is talking about. And the idea over here would be that it would not be nifsal because of its being dochui from the mincha. It would actually still be a mincha that is an incipiently kosher mincha. We'll see later on what the din of incipients has to do with, in general, the halacha of dichui as a general rule, which we'll get to shortly. This business about Lavona, where you say you can actually collect the Lavona, and that is the basis of the Heksher. How about if you ground up the Lavona? So now you have Lavona powder, and you're not going to be able to collect Lavona powder. So you put Lavona powder into the Mincha. Well, what would be the din over there? I mean, is that the same as the Shemen, or what? So, okay, obviously we've got another problem, which we'll have to handle logistically purely, and that is there wouldn't be any way to do the kometz if you really powdered the Lavona throughout, right? Because a kometz that has anything else in it, remember, is a kometz that's chaser. We said that early on in the Masechet, it would be puzzled. So we'd have to be talking about a case where there is one area that you could do the kmitza on without your powdered Lavona. That's not a problem. But the question is, whether this makes it the same thing as the shemen or not. So if the whole idea was the efshar l'lokta, which is the way you described it, you said, I'm only making a distinction between the shemen and the levena because the shemen, efshar l'lokta, and the levena is efshar l'lokta. But in this case, it's not efshar l'lokta, so therefore it should have puzzled it. And therefore, it might be exactly the same if it's purely a logistical question, because in this case, lo efshar l'lokta. Or is the real issue here the question of whether it's nivla in the mincha? Maybe that's the issue. In other words, putting in lavona doesn't really matter because it never becomes linked. It's stuck. It's not linked. Masha Inkin, shemen is actually linked molecularly, and therefore it's not called stuck. And it's maybe the real problem. It's all part of one. It becomes one entity. Lavona never becomes one entity. It just has all of these various ingredients, but they don't never become one. So maybe that's the point. Mishum delo mi bala. And the Lavona, I mean, you use the word loosely, maybe. Maybe the point is that it's not absorbed into the Mincha. Well, I mean, read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you put in Lavona, you'll get tenna. So it says that you'd have to actually collect it. It's not saying you could collect it. It's saying you'd have to actually collect it. If I don't actually collect it, it remains puzzle. So what's your question? In this case, you cannot actually collect it. I mean, makes it very logistical, and therefore your question has no bearing on anything. Well, I mean, the mincha, the Mishnah, yes. I mean, the Mishnah might just be saying the deeper thing, which is taken for granted, And it's adding something else. And so maybe what the Mishnah meant to say is like this. Sometimes the Mishnah speaks along the lines of, there's what we all know, and then there's another point I'd like to mention. So maybe that's one of these things over here. There's what we all know, and then something else I'd like to mention. So first of all, the issue is with the Levona, it's not really absorbed into the Mincha. That's the main point. Well, we all know that. And I want to point out that you could even logistically take it out. So if you took it out, for sure, it would be kosher. Just why not? So, but it didn't mean that if you don't physically take it out, it wouldn't be kosher. So you can't really bring a raya from the Mishnah 100%. Okay, let me show you a braita. Tashma. Makshir anil milavona. We just read this. I'm going to tell you that in the case of the shemen, it's possible, but in the case of the lavona, it's not kosher, not possible, because it's efshar lelokta. Okay, so the braita says that's the reason. In the event that it wouldn't be efshar lelokta, so then it wouldn't be. I wouldn't be matir. It would be the same as the shemen. No. The braita can also be, look, I know that a braita usually, it's true, that the braita is usually more clear and specific than the Mishnah. But this issue of chod va'od is often used in a braita the same way it would be used in a Mishnah. And therefore, this could also be a chod va'od. And look, we all know that it's not nifla. And I just want to also point out that, you know, in a normal case, you'd even be able to be malakit, but that doesn't mean it's necessary to be malakit. Anyway, so do we have a clear-cut raya about this or not? So my havela, bottom line, what's the din? Omrim Nachal Bar Yitzchak, well, there is a braita that actually discusses this. Minchat chote, uminchat kina'ut, shenatan alea levona, milaket et alevona ukshera. Now, suppose before you did the actual physical likut, im at shelo liket livonata, you had a machsheves pigol, either chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo, it would not become pigol to be mechayev you karet. Why? Because remember, in order for something to be properly pigled, it's got to be kosherly pigled, so that the only thing that's wrong with it is that you had the machsheves pigol chutz l'zmano. But if it has any other trace of something that puzzled it, such as this case where it has the Lavona in it, and you haven't collected the Lavona out of it, it cannot become pigol to be b'chayiv you karet. It's puzzle, but ain't bo karet in this case. But it still becomes puzzle with the machshava. If, however, you had a machshava with Zizmano after you already physically took out the Lavona, if it's chutz l'mekomo, then like any pigo chutz l'mekomo, it's only possible without karet. But if it's chutz l'mano, then it would be standard pigo, b'chayavin alav karet. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that there's a psul in the mincha until you do the physical act of taking out the lavona, and there's no way to make this pigo to be mechayav you karet. Which shows that as long as the Lavona is there, it's puzzle. Varaya, you can't make it pigle. There's your answer. If the fact is that the Lavona is there, then there's no way to view this as a kosher mincha. So there seems to be the answer. If you're going to put in Lavona that's not removable because it's Lavona powder, so in that case, it's going to be puzzle and there'll be no way to be machsher. So now that is clearly the answer to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna's question, that since it says that you can only have pigo if it's not there, so as long as it's there, it's possible. Now, the thing is that the Braita did say that it has a din of a mincha, and it would actually passel it with pigo, machsheves pigo, it's just that it wouldn't be a chorus, but it is a machsheves psul. But why? Why isn't it the same, let's say, as taking a pach of shemen, you know? And we said, if you put shemen on it, so what would be the din? It would be puzzle. If it's puzzle, would you be able to make it puzzle with the machsheves pigo? Forget about whether it be chayiv karas. Would you be able to make it puzzle? No. You can't make something that's not roy for the mizbeach puzzle. So then the Breite is essentially a contradiction, an innate contradiction. I mean, if you're telling me it's possible, so then how did it take a psul machshava at all? Something possible is not able to take a psul machshava. And if it takes a psul machshava, so then you're telling me it's basically a mincha should still be able to get be machayev kares. And so why would machshava possible it as long as it's in a state of being possible and it's dochli? Amar Abaye, that's because the Torah put in that word chatati to tell me that it's considered to still be a carbon that can be like the chatas to be nifsal with a machshava. That is included in the chiddush of chatati. Rava says no. There's no problem here. You don't have to have a special drasha. If the bright is going aliva the sheet of Hanan HaMitzri, remember, we've spoken about Hanan HaMitzri, that Hanan HaMitzri is the one who says in Yuma that there is no problem of dihui. So even if the mincha would actually be mixed with this Lavona, and you'll say, okay, so it's dochui, so you cannot make it possible with a makshava while it's in a state of dihui. Well, that's not true according to Hanan HaMitzri. And I'll prove it to you from the famous case of Hanan HaMitzri in Yuma. So we have over there, remember, the question, what happens if the dam spills from the soyer Lashem, and now you need a new soyer? Can you just bring in a new soyer and put it together with the soyer mishtaleach, and now you've got a kosher mixture, and then nothing goes wrong with the soyer mishtaleach? Or do we say, well, no, you weren't able to use this soyer mishtaleach, you have to start over again. You have to do a new goral and the whole thing. And certainly in the opposite case, where we're not talking about Balei Chaim, we're over there, there possibly Balei Chaim ain't any nidachim. But in the opposite case, where the soyer mishtaleach dies, right? And now you're going to have to bring another one. The dam that you were holding in the coasts, which was about to be sprinkled from the Soyer Anase Bifnim, which is the match to the Soyer Mishtaleach. Now that blood is useless because you don't have a matching Soyer Mishtaleach. According to Hanan HaMitzri, you can go ahead, bring a new Soyer Mishtaleach, match it up, and just keep going from the point that you were going without starting over again and requiring a new Hagralah. Now, what does that show you? That the fact that the dam was in the coast and was completely unusable in the interim period before you found your new Soyer Mishtaleach, it doesn't matter. It now becomes reconstituted, so to speak, with the energies of the new Soyer Mishtaleach, and it's perfectly kosher. So obviously, Hanan HaMitzri does not hold of dichli. So let's just see that in the Mishnah, the Tanya. So actually, the Braita over here says, Hanan HaMitzri Omer, Afilu Dam Bakos. You have the Dam of the Soyer Anase Bifnim is inside of the cup that you were going to use for putting it on to its various 42s or 7s or 9s, matonais, maybe chaveirai sheloba agrala. You don't even need to start with agrala. You can choose one that matches, bezaveglo, pair it up, and just keep going. So if that's the case, so clearly he doesn't hold of dichui. Rav Ashi says, the reason there's no dichui here is true according to everybody, not only according to Hanan HaMitzri. Because the klal is, when we said it was an incipiently kosher, what does that incipience mean? It means it's up to you. You can decide to make it kosher if you want. So how would you make it kosher? By simply taking out the Lavona, right? So if all you need to do is take out the Lavona, then it's biyadai. And kosher biyado, if it's in your power to make this kosher, how is that dochui? Just go ahead and make it kosher. So kosher biyado, says Rav Ashi, is not called dichui according to anybody, and therefore doesn't require special limud. It doesn't need to be going a libud Hanan HaMitzri. It's a general understanding of what the meaning of dichui is. Rav Ashi, yeah, I think that's brilliant. It must be like Rav Ashi is saying over here that it's not called dichui because, look, who is the man d'yomar that does say dichui? That's Rabbi Yehuda. He's the one that is like the total opposite of Hanan HaMitzri. And this appears in the actual Mishnah. in Yuma, where it says there, V'od Omar Rabbi Yehuda. So this is actually the famous psak, which we have seen before, and we're going to see more of again, that V'od Omar Rabbi Yehuda, if the dam of the Sarasha Bifnim spilled out, so then you're going to have to get a new Sarah Mishtaleach, and the Sarah Mishtaleach is useless. It should be Yamut, because it's Posel, and they need to be matched up with the Hagralah. So if Nishpach Adam Yamut HaMishtaleach, if the Mishtaleach died before you did this, the Dam has to be poured out, you start the whole thing over again. So then that means each one is completely dependent on the other one's presence. But now that's Rabbi Yehuda. What about the issue that we've spoken about several times? And that is on the Korban Pesach. Remember what we do. We stop up the drain in the Azara. We let the blood go all the way up. And then, as Rabbi Yehuda says, the Kohen would take one cup of the mixture of the blood. This was Nogea the Din, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eilin or not Mevatlim Zedza, in which case, if you've got one molecule of blood from one of the Korban Pesachs that might have spilled out on to the floor after the Kohanim were Mekabel the Dam and they were passing it down with that beautiful pass in which they were doing their halacha with that, you know, movement to one leg, passing it to the next guy, maybe some of it slipped. So in that case, you would still have one molecule that would be mixed in this mixture, and one molecule is in bato, if it's both of them are oilim, and you then take that one cup with all of the millions of cups of dam that are there, and you would be zorek that zrikach as keneged hayisod in order to be yotzei the zrik of the Korban Pesach. Now, wait a minute. This dam, when it was on the ground, it was not roi at that point for being the dam on the Mizbeach. Afal pikein, it was dochli. Now that we picked it up and now it's back in the coast, you can go ahead and you can pour it out. Why is that? Must be because even though Mr. Dichui himself is Rabbi Yehuda, he still holds that since it was Biyotcha all along to pick it up and put it back into the coast, it's not considered to be Dichui. A wonderful, wonderful diak, which we've actually used before, that if Kol Shebiyadai, Ravashi must be right, is not Dichui, because how else could we possibly understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Okay, now, let's talk about, since we want to get up to the Mishnah, let's talk about the shiur of the psulim. It was one thing we didn't discuss. We talked about putting shemen on the Minchas Chote and in the Minchat Kanaot, or Lavona. I mean, so you said the shemen would possibly, but how much shemen? I mean, could we be mavato, a little bit of shemen, or what? So I'm Rav Yisrael by Yosef, I'm Rav Yochanan. Well, I'll tell you, any amount whatsoever, even a mashu of shemen, would possibly, but it would only be a psul if it was actually put on top of a kizayit. Then you would be over on the iser. My time, huh? So how do we get that idea from the pasuk? So it said in the pasuk, remember we had both isurim of lo yasim when it comes to the shemen and lo yitain when it comes to lavona ki chatati. So my diak is that when you use the word sima always just means putting something on, and there's no concept that there would be of achila or hoitzah or something. Sima is not a technical concept that has a particular shiur that would be associated with it. So if it says lo yasim alea shemen, it would mean any little bit. But what would you have to put that shemen on? Oh, you have to put that shemen alea An allel would mean an identifiable, meaningful piece of the mincha, which would mean that it would have a shir of Akhtara, and the shir of Akhtara is dafka a kezayit. So you'd have to put even this tiniest bit, but you'd have to put it on a kezayit. Now, how about levona? The Amar of Yitzhak by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to levona, it's exactly the opposite. If you take a kezayit of levona, then you would be chayev, but only a kezayit. But it could be put even on less than the amount of the mincha that requires haktar. Exactly the opposite. So the shear is in the amount of levona, whereas by the shemen, there was no shear in the amount of shemen. And the non-shear is in the object that you're putting it on, whereas in the case of shemen, the object that you're putting it on was an aleh that required a proper shear in order to be roy for krava. And I'll tell you why I say this. My time up. Because it says in the Torah when it comes to the levena, doesn't say lo yasin. It says lo yitain. And lo yitain actually does have a shear, which we learn out from the pasuk of Vinatan laKohen et haKodesh, and over there we say it has to be roy for the netina to the Kohen, and that is in terms of achila, and because it was a din in achila, you have to give him something roy l'achila, so that means you need to have a shear of a kezayis. So netina does have a shear, ad ika netina, and then it says aleha. And the understanding of aleha is, you're right, I know what you're going to say. Last time you said that aleha meant it had to be on it, that is to say, an identifiable part of a mincha that was roy for akrav. And now you're telling me, even if it's a mashu, why did you change your mind? I changed your mind. I didn't change my mind. I say the same thing I say now. But tell me why the Torah would have to mention aleha twice. If you simply could have said, lo yitain aleha v'lo yitain shemen. Why do you have to repeat aleha? So it's a riboy acha riboy. Only this case where it's the real mincha. And riboy acha riboy, ela lema'ed, which tells me you don't need bedafka. For the levona part, you do not need to have specifically an aleha. That's good for the chiddush. Because otherwise I would have said that the levona has the same parameters that the shemen has, and that it would only be chayev if you put it on a suitable for hakrava mincha. Now, ikene yamrin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, this is a different way of starting the whole sugya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, what Rabbi Yochanan did not say, he asked, boy, Rabbi Yochanan, what would be the din if you put a mashu shemen on a kezayit of a mincha? So the question is, if the Torah used the word sima for the shemen and yitain for the levona, are they meant to reflect on each other? And that would mean that the sima would have to be the same shear as the netina. So mi ba'inan sima ki netina? Olo, I'm not sure whether maybe you actually do need a minimum shear of a kezayis, because of the way that it's compared to the galvona. Take. Okay, and then the last piece of the Mishnah was natan shemen al shireha. So if you put shemen on the leftovers, there we were talking about the difference between the shirayim legabi shemen or the shirayim legabi, let's say, mechametz. So turn it up on. Lo yasim alea shemen velo yitain alea levona. So you might think that these are called two separate isurim to be mechayev you, two separate lavim, theoretically. In other words, if one kohen would do shemen and another kohen would do levena, so then you have two separate lavim. But, I mean, if one person does each of them, it would be just different faces of wrecking the same carbon. You can wreck it with shemen, you can wreck it with levena, you can wreck it by putting both of them on, but you're not going to be mechayev both. That's why it repeats the word over here, aleha. That the problem is not the coin. The problem is what you did to the mincha. I don't care who does it, two coin, one coin. But the point is, you ended up with a shemen alea and a levona alea. Now, you might think that if you put oil in a kli, or you put levona in a kli, You take that kli and you put it on top of the mincha without actually mixing it, because it just says lo yitein aleha. So I did. You might think you'd be chayev, and therefore lo yitein kli agabe kli v'im natan pasul. That is the stress of it on it itself. Aleha means to actually the goof of the mincha ketuv medaber, and not on a general concept of a kli. And therefore, we now know all of the dinim that we had in the mincha in our Mishnah. Excellent, gentlemen.